mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, AI is the top trend in business these days. Major players like Amazon, Google, and Meta are all in, but small and mid-sized companies are lagging behind. What will it take to make the potential of this technology accessible to all? Also this morning, as another season draws to a close, we'll get a preview of upcoming entertainment in the month of May at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. Heather Clough will be here to tell us what's happening. And something new is happening this weekend at the fairgrounds. It's the Hancock County Home and Garden Show. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, April 28th, 2025. NFL draft over the weekend. Did you watch any of it? Ohio State with the most players taken of any team, of any college team. What was it? 14 for Ohio State, one shy of the all-time record set by Georgia a couple of years ago. Georgia was second in terms of most draft picks. I think they had 13, and then it was Texas. Let's see here. Michigan had 7. Notre Dame, I think, had 6. Bowling Green and Toledo each had one pick apiece. University of Cincinnati had one draft pick. But Ohio State, the big winner overall, of course, one of the biggest buzzworthy picks of the NFL draft was the Browns taking Shedeur Sanders. So they will have 5 quarterbacks on their roster heading into camp. We'll see what that competition is like, but it should be interesting. After the NFL draft, and Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the NFL draft was the kid out of Indiana. I can't remember his name now, but it was a kid from Indiana. So always interested to find out who is Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft. Let's see, elsewhere, other things going on. I happen to see this, talking about the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started from over the weekend, happened Friday night at Danny's Cafe in Toledo. Did you hear about this story? Just an amazing story. It was anything but a normal Friday night at Danny's Cafe. A patron went into cardiac arrest there at the restaurant. Employees sprung into action, performing CPR, using an AED, calling 911. They did everything they were supposed to do. The woman transported to the local hospital. I'm not sure which one, but at last check, her condition was stable. The owner of Danny's said the staff had undergone the CPR training the day before the incident on Friday night. The day before. Kudos to the whole staff and ownership there at Danny's Cafe in Toledo for having the foresight to have that training and right at the right time. That is pretty cool. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started. This may be the least surprising research ever. Gen Z is struggling financially, and it is stressing them out. Believe it or not, this is a Harvard study. Had to actually do a study here to find out that Gen Z is struggling financially and it's stressing them out. I would imagine if you just went around the campus at Harvard University and asked Gen Zers, are you struggling financially? You know what it costs to go to Harvard? They say, yeah, we're struggling financially. Anyway, this may be one reason why, though, most Gen Zers say they are anxious about their finances. New data from LendingTree shows a growing number of Americans relying on loans to buy their groceries. People are taking out loans to afford to eat. A survey of 2,000 consumers between the ages of 18 to 79, so this is actually more than just Gen Zers, but half report using credit to help cover the cost of food. LendingTree said 25% of those in the survey said that they have used buy now, pay later loans to buy groceries. Wow. I'm not sure what that says about the state of the American economy, but my goodness. That is not good. And I guess 1 in 7 of those borrowers are behind on their buy now, pay later payments. Buy now, pay later is great if you can afford to keep up with the payments. If you can't, then you could put yourself in a mountain of debt that it is incredibly hard to climb out of. So you gotta be careful with that. And especially buy now, pay later to buy food. Just the basic necessities. That is crazy. This, on the other hand, is research that we can truly use. Have you ever walked into a room? Have you ever done this? Walked into a room and then can't remember why you went in that room? I said, why did I come in? Why did I come in here? Researchers at the University of Lague, and I'm not sure where that is, to be honest. But researchers have investigated why we have these brain farts. And what they say is that we may be taking mini naps. The team found that these mental blackouts could be similar to what they call micro sleeping. People report experiencing brain farts between 5 and 20% of the time while performing typical mundane tasks. The author of the study, Antoine Lutz, says our aim is to start a conversation, see how mind blanking relates to other seemingly similar experiences, such as meditation. We're just blanking out, and almost like we are just taking a nap, and so that's what's apparently happening. They're looking into it scientifically. I'm just glad somebody's researching this. I know it's not just me, but that is somewhat comforting, I guess. Okay, what else is going on? Oh, this is big news. For about as long as I can remember, the past several years, the Mediterranean diet has long been a favorite for those looking to eat healthy. But another diet might be a new contender. We have a new contender to challenge the Mediterranean diet. Dutch researchers have found that people in Tanzania are far healthier than those in Western nations. That's been the thing. You know, those in the Mediterranean are healthier than Western nations. And so that's the reason behind the rise in the Mediterranean diet. If they're healthier, then we should emulate what they are doing. Well, they've also found that people in Tanzania are also healthier than those in Western nations. And so now the Tanzanian Kilimanjaro diet, which consists of okra, plantains, beans, and drinks made of fermented banana, kind of the benchmarks of this Tanzanian Kilimanjaro diet. Drinks made of fermented banana. Okay. Those following this diet tend to have lower levels of inflammation, which is at the root cause of many chronic conditions, which makes this study highly relevant for Western countries, according to the lead author of this study and these Dutch researchers. So I give you the heads up. I'm not going to go into, you know, in depth of all of the ins and outs of the Tanzanian Kilimanjaro diet, but if you are looking for an alternative to the Mediterranean diet, this may be the next big thing. You're welcome, America. I just like the name, the Tanzanian Kilimanjaro diet. That's pretty snappy name right there. And lastly here, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day happened, I don't know, was this over the weekend or was it last week at some point? And I don't know if you've seen this story or if there is video. I would hope that there's video of this. Crazy. The Columbus Zoo at the in the tiger enclosure, the Amur tiger, the Columbus Zoo, in this tiger's enclosure, a wild bird flew into the enclosure. I guess a Canadian goose. Canadian goose landed in the enclosure of the Amur tiger at the zoo. You would think that's not going to end well, right? Well, actually, it did not. The goose did not become a poultry dinner for the tiger. According to spokesperson Jen Fields for the Columbus Zoo, in the infrequent event that native wildlife enters an animal enclosure, the animal care team uses trained emergency recall techniques to call the animal into their indoor spaces while they can clear the native wildlife out. And that's what they did, and they were able to rescue the goose. Just a crazy story. I just thought that was a wild... If you ever wondered what would happen if, you know, native wildlife landed in the enclosure? Doesn't happen often, they say, but when it does... That's what they do, and they were able to save the Canadian goose. Anyway, just kind of an interesting little story there. You can check that out. I'm sure USA Today is where I saw the story. I'm sure that there are other places as well. But there you go, some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected today with a high in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-60s. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office says a man with active arrest warrants fled from deputies when they came into contact with him. The Sheriff's Office says deputies were conducting a criminal investigation on U.S. 224 in Liberty Township when they came into contact with the 44-year-old from Findlay and learned he had two arrest warrants out of Findlay Municipal Court. Deputies said the man took off running and was eventually found hiding in a trash dumpster. He was taken into custody and transported to Blanchard Valley Hospital for possible heat exhaustion. The sheriff's office said the man fled from deputies to avoid 19 days in jail and will now be facing additional charges. Get more in this story on our website. The Ohio Senate is considering legislation that would prohibit Ohioans from using their SNAP benefits to purchase sugar-sweetened beverages.
Ohio House Finance Chair Republican Brian Stewart of Asheville said he doesn't believe the state should be subsidizing diabetes in children. Sugar-sweetened beverages are defined as having more than 5 grams of added sugar or containing 50% or more of fruit or vegetable juice. It excludes milk and milk substitutes. Currently, SNAP users cannot use their benefits to buy beer, wine, liquor, cigarettes, and tobacco.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Blanchard Valley Health System has announced it's joining a new statewide alliance to strengthen rural health care. BVHS is one of 26 rural hospitals launching the Ohio High Value Network to collaborate on clinical and business initiatives to strengthen health care in rural communities across the state. BVHS President and CEO Myron Lewis is board chair of the Ohio High Value Network and says strong collaboration is the best way to sustain high-quality care in our communities. And the more we work together, the better we can serve our communities, continuously improving quality and lowering costs. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, you know, for the past couple of years or more, the big story in the world of technology has been artificial intelligence. And as it relates to business, its ability to drive efficiency, improve decision making, and unlock new growth opportunities. Big players like Amazon and Google and Meta are all in, of course. But many small and mid-sized companies are, in many cases, still trying to figure it all out, struggling to make AI actually useful beyond just small experiments and such. So what is holding businesses back from scaling this up? Joining us is Ed Walsh. He is senior managing consultant for hybrid cloud transformation with IBM Consulting. And Ed, you say the critical piece that is being overlooked is the cloud. What is the role of the cloud in making AI work, and why is having a strong cloud foundation, I guess, if you will, so important for scaling this technology?
Yeah, no, first, thank you for having me. And It really is an exciting time. I mean, AI has been around for a while, but really generative AI has captivated the world. And as we're not just seeing this in technology circles, but business leaders are up on stage talking about the implications. Family and friends are talking about it in everyday conversations. But I mean, with this great potential, both small, medium, and large organizations are really struggling to turn these concepts and pilots to full-scale production to really leverage the value of AI. And we truly believe that a strong cloud foundation is really a necessity to leverage this technology and, more importantly, scale it. Because cloud provides the flexibility and the cost-friendly storage options for these massive data sets. It provides best-in-class compute services with on-demand capabilities to spin up and down these intensive workflows, and really the scale for global deployment to leverage these models everywhere. But as I mentioned, these organizations are really struggling to scale AI, because we've seen pre-generative AI, this cloud revolution, where organizations started to adopt cloud piecemeal and without proper governance or really structure. And as we fast forward to this new technology revolution, AI, it's really shed light on technology debts or cracks in the foundation, right? So these data that are now in silos are hindering the access for the clean and accurate data. There's a lack of cost financial management, cloud financial management, that is exponentially increasing the cost for organizations as they embark on their AI journey. And security vulnerabilities are intensified, right, with AI deployment. And so as cloud provides a means to scale AI, organizations are grappling on how they work these two technologies together in order to meet their business needs. And so we really truly see this symbiotic relationship, hybrid cloud helping AI, but also AI helping hybrid cloud. And if done right, can be very powerful no matter what size of the organization to meet their business objectives.
Now, you recently just issued a report, I understand, detailing the successes of these types of cloud transformation ventures, if you will, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It was a really interesting report, actually. We did see that a lot of organizations are bullish on digital and cloud transformation over the past 3 to 5 years. But what we found surprising was that a lot of these programs actually failed in the eyes of the business. We saw that 1 in 3 were on time and on budget, and 1 in 4 actually saw a tangible ROI from their cloud adoption programs. And there has been a universal agreement that a hybrid cloud approach is the right approach. And we define hybrid cloud as managing your on-premise, your public clouds, your private cloud, SaaS, edge environments together, but organizations really fell short. And what we found in this report was because these organizations, they have limited time, they have limited budgets, resources. They adopted cloud in pockets that led to fragmentations and silos, and actually increased their costs, increased complexity to manage these environments, created gaps in talent and skilling, and ultimately really delayed the execution of business value use cases and slow future technology adoption like AI. And so we've coined this term as really hybrid by default, where conversely, we saw organizations that were successful really taking a more business-centric and an intentional and consistent approach, methodically tracking their transformation activities to get into value creation. And we've coined this term as hybrid by design, right? Designing your cloud environment to support the scale of AI, but also the flexibility and innovation that's needed for the business.
And that was going to be my question. What did you find were consistent among the instances where this has worked or where this has not worked, to kind of guide people to finding the right solutions while avoiding ones that have been tried and are not true?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen actually common patterns really emerge on the organizations that were successful in what we call really hybrid by design strategies. Mm-hmm. And those common patterns that really emerged, we saw, were around the business centricity or product centricity approach that they took. So like as technology has evolved from just being a supporting platform to now a differentiator for the business. A shift was required in the operating model to really put the products and services, the end users, at the forefront of every technology conversation, and really developing an operating model that helps to foster product and service innovation. The second thing that we saw was really around intentionality and driving more intentional architectural choices aligned to those products and services. The third thing we saw was around consistency. And what we like to say is driving consistency where consistency makes sense and using these platforms and reusable components to really scale capabilities for the business. The fourth area we saw that differentiated successful strategies was really around product teams and focusing on upskilling talent and changing the processes to harness the technology. Because what we've seen is neglecting people and process changes always results in a lack of successful technology adoption. And last is data and AI at the core, is really harnessing data more effectively and scaling AI to drive productivity and bring innovation.
What are the biggest challenges that businesses will face when these things are not aligned? When we talk about the cloud strategy and artificial intelligence are not aligned the way you kind of present that here?
Yeah, I think simply put, the challenges they face is really market differentiation and low return on investment. Mm. We're seeing leaders in the market are really starting to accelerate their AI adoption, are gaining that competitive edge, and they're seeing high returns. And that gap's only really going to get widened over the coming years if they're not aligning their strategies. I mean, more specifically, they're seeing increased costs, reduced speed and flexibility, technology debt accumulation, talent acquisition issues. But ultimately is the inability to future-proof their organizations for further technology revolutions to come as the technology pace is continuing to become more rapid and changing the landscape to really be nimble to start to address some of the new technologies and use that to differentiate businesses against their peers.
So in layman's terms, what I'm hearing you say is this is the way things are going. You better get on board now or risk being left behind forever.
It seems, a pessimistic way to view it, but we do believe that the race is on now, right? Yeah. And those who can start to really scale AI will be successful in this new technology era that we live in.
Again, Ed Walsh is Senior Managing Consultant for Hybrid Cloud Transformation at IBM Consulting. Where do folks get more information on all of this?
You can visit IBM.com and search for our Hybrid by Design page. You can also look for IBM's Institute for Business Value, which is our thought leadership arm, or feel free to search for me on LinkedIn at Edward Ryan Walsh, and looking forward to hearing from you.
All right. It may sound like we're talking above a lot of people's heads, but that is exactly why you need to get on board with this and learn more about it beginning right now. Ed, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Really appreciate your time, Chris. Thanks so much.
Time to get an update on what's happening at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. Heather Clough is with us. Another season kind of drawing to a close. Final shows of the main stage series and Live at Arms.
Yeah, they're both in May.
Are both coming up in May. The first one, May 1st, on Thursday, first day of the new month, you've got Come From Away, which is one of the big shows. I know a lot of folks who last check, I think there were like four tickets that were.
That's about it. Yeah, we definitely have a waiting list though. Yeah. So if you don't have your tickets, you can call and get on the waiting list.
What a terrific show!
Oh, it is a fantastic show. It's a big Broadway show, mm-hmm. but it's beautifully done. The story of the planes that had to land in Newfoundland mm-hmm. on September 11th.
Yeah,
and how the community responded.
It really is one of the. There are so very few heartwarming stories from that day and that, you know, period of history. This is one of those that takes an incredible tragedy and puts a terrific, positive human spin on it.
It does.
I think that's what really people resonate.
Absolutely. The music is gorgeous. It's actually quite a small cast. When I saw it, I remember thinking, oh, wait, that guy is also that guy. Like, they play multiple roles really well.
Yeah. I have not seen it. I don't know the music, but everyone that I have talked to just raves, who has seen it, just raves about it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful show. We're looking forward to closing out the season with it.
To that end, because this is one of those Broadway shows, and it's the second one of this this season,
yes.
How blessed are we to be able to accommodate those big shows? Because for performing arts centers in cities of our size, that's not always possible.
It's not always possible. And I think we have a good size stage for a lot of the shows. I mean, there mm-hmm. are a few of the shows that don't fit, yeah. but a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. And we have a community. We can do one show.
Yeah.
You know, when tours leave Broadway, when shows go off Broadway and they start touring, first they'll do like, you know, 2 weeks in a place.
Right.
And then they start going down further. They'll do like mm-hmm. what they call split weeks, just a couple of days. We're a one-off.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the community to draw multiple nights of a show.
Yeah.
But these are still great shows and still recent shows.
This one might
yeah,
have.
Yeah, exactly.
So this one, so maybe we could.
But, yeah, we might have been able to.
Yeah. But generally, that's the way you look at it, in terms of a one-off show. But, you know, just to be able to draw those shows in, and obviously, we can accommodate them, which gives us that reputation to allow us to continue to book them.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, and our location is great, being right off 75, but we're sure. also yeah. between Lima and Toledo.
Right.
They also do big Broadway shows. So there's right. also that to negotiate. But yeah. people like coming to MCPA. The artists like it. We treat them well, and the town is great, and it's fun.
And as we've always said, it's a great place to see a show because there's not a bad seat in the house. No, there really is not.
There really isn't.
So Come From Away is coming on Thursday. Again, not a lot of tickets left, but there is a wait list. And if you have tickets, make sure that you don't forget.
That's right. Come to the show.
That's going
to
be then this coming weekend, you actually have an event. This is a free event called the Rise and Shine Youth and Family Breakfast Bash. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is the second annual.
Okay.
And it's when we announce what our SPARC, which is our student matinees, our youth theater, and our family performances are going okay. to be for next year.
All right.
It's 9 a.m. Saturday morning. It's free. Baker's Cafe is providing the breakfast.
Okay.
And you come, and there's going to be activities for kids to do. Then we'll announce the shows, and then you can just do some more activities or, yep. and head out along your day.
And will those tickets then be available right with the announcement?
The SPARC series will not. We wait okay. a little bit for that till the end of the summer, but the rest okay. of them, and youth theater will not.
Okay.
The family show, which we're actually calling All Ages, actually, based on our conversation last month. We're changing yeah. that series to All Ages instead of Family.
Okay.
Because it is for all ages.
Right.
And we yeah. don't want the word family to keep people that, you know, might not have little kids away.
Yeah.
So those will go on sale.
Okay. So that is coming up on Saturday. Yes. While we're on the subject, then, the full, the main stage season announcement and the new Live at Arms series and all of that, that'll be coming when?
So the Live at Arms series and the Wildcard series will be announced on May 15th at okay. the Matt Anderson Show.
Okay.
And they'll go on sale that next day at 11, but they'll okay. you'll be able to see them that evening online.
Mm-hmm.
And then our main stage is June 10th
okay.
at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be giving away a pair of season tickets at the event if you're there.
All which right.
is no small prize.
absolutely. And again, that is a free event. And not only do you have the announcement of the series, but if anybody is interested in the kind of the behind the scenes, behind the curtains workings of the Marathon Center and so on, you go into some detail in that.
Yeah, we also well. Have a, like, we thank our board members
right.
and things like that. I try to have a performance, and we're actually we received an award. A $10,000 grant that they're going to be presenting us a big check on that night as well.
Well, there so. You go. That's that makes it exciting.
Yeah, I always like a big check.
So, that is put that on the calendar for June 10th. So we're getting ahead of ourselves a yeah. little bit, but that'll be when all of those are announced. You did mention the Matt Anderson show at the Live at Arms series to finish that one up.
Yes.
Later this month.
He is an amazing blues guitarist. Actually, we only have standing room only left for that.
Really?
He's a big name. Wow. He's a pretty big name yeah. for our small space. Yeah. I've been wanting to book him for 20 years, probably.
It's interesting because when I saw his photo, when I'm looking at the list of events, and I saw his photo, I was like, he looks familiar. Yeah. I didn't immediately recognize the name, but he looks familiar.
Yeah, so. He's got, and if you ever listen to a lot of blues and Americana, he will definitely come. Right, very good. He's fantastic.
And you talk about a nice intimate setting, Live at Arms.
Yeah.
Just a terrific show. You've got a couple of rental shows coming up.
We do.
Even though the official series are wrapping up here, there are still a couple of rental shows that are popping up.
Yeah, well, we have the University of Findlay coming in again. Mm-hmm. And we also have the Ultimate Bee Gees and ABBA tribute show, one night only.
That should be fun.
That's May 9th. Yeah, that'll be a fun show. I mean, who doesn't love the Bee Gees?
Absolutely.
And we're also partnering with the Findlay City Schools, and they're doing an author talk at 5 p.m. on the 13th with a poet, Maggie Smith. She's a famous poet. So if sort of branch into your literary side, you can just stop over for that. That's a free event.
Very good. Let me see here. Oh, again, while we're looking ahead a little bit, the other rental show at the end of the month, at the end of May, is the Princess and the Pea, the Black Swamp Fine Arts School.
Yeah, so they come down annually and do dance. It's a full show. It's not a recital. It's a full show, and they do a lovely job. And it's regional dancers. I just love having local folks on our stage.
That's another key part of what MCPA does.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Whether we're talking about youth theater or the Black Swamp Fine Arts School, whatever it might happen to be.
Yeah, University of Findlay. Yeah,
absolutely. Looking ahead a little bit, starting to think about summer events and those. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about it when we speak next month, but Boogie on the Block is right around the corner.
It is June 6th. The first Friday in June. All right. So we got two great bands, and cross your fingers for good weather. And
absolutely. More information about all of those shows. What else is going on right now? Because again, you get into the summer, you still have community events, the education, the classes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we have camps all summer, along with the Riverside Park series and the Lunchtime Live series. And right now, we're all as a team really hyper focused on the announcements.
Yeah,
getting all those agents to approve all the marketing and things like that. So behind the scenes, we're busy getting ready to tell you all what's coming.
Yeah,
soon. But then the summer, and we have our food trucks. Once every couple of weeks, and so we've got a lot going on.
A lot of things will be going on throughout the summer. Again, wrapping up the season series in the month of May and looking ahead to next season. We've got a link on our webpage, goodmornings.net, for more information about everything happening at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts coming up in the month of May. And again, Heather Clough, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A fourth suspect is in custody after a traffic stop and foot chase in Monroe County, Michigan. It started Saturday morning, spilled over into Sunday. This is the story. So it's just north of Toledo, Monroe County. If you've ever driven into Michigan on I-75 near Nadeau Road, it's one of the early exits off the interstate there in Monroe County, Michigan. So this started Saturday morning just before 12:30 a.m. on I-75 northbound near Nadeau Road. A trooper attempted to stop a Dodge Caliber. The driver fled, eventually pulled into an apartment complex where three of the four suspects got out of the car and ran off. One just stayed there in the vehicle and said, "That's it, you got me." So he was placed under arrest. Two of the three others that took off were arrested. They were caught in pretty short order. But it wasn't until Sunday that the final suspect, the third one who had ran, the final suspect was also arrested. And this is what caught my eye in this story. He was arrested after another police chase. After he didn't think that was enough to get away with one, he had to lead police on another chase. But he has been caught now, so all four are in custody and safely housed in the Monroe County Jail. Also in Michigan, because apparently Michigan is giving Florida a run for its money in the broken news today, a suspected bank robber was arrested after he allegedly stole from the from a Dearborn Financial Savings Bank location. Incident happened on Thursday around 2 p.m. Officials say the suspect pointed a gun at a teller and said he was robbing the bank. They were able to arrest him because they found him inside a Tim Hortons next to the bank. Tim Hortons right next to the bank he allegedly stole from. He was attempting to disguise himself with a wig. Officials were able to recover all of the stolen money, and multiple charges are pending. So. I can just see this. Well, the cops, come in to the bank, and they're investigating, and one cop turns to the other and says, "Has anybody looked at the Tim Hortons next door?" Maybe we just want to go over next door and just check and see. You never know. And sure enough, that's where he was. He had on a wig trying to hide himself. It didn't work. This is how you know that a life of crime is not for you. This is maybe when you maybe want to think about another line of work. Bank robbery is not this guy's going to be this guy's vocation. Sometimes the dumb criminals are already in jail. An inmate, this is in Nashville, an inmate who was set to be released in 2 days is now facing more jail time after an escape attempt. Tyreek Harris walked away from an approved work release site this past week. So he just walked away. The crazy thing is he was set to be released from jail in 2 days. And decided to make a break for it. He was arrested the next day, which was, I guess, the day he was supposed to be released. Instead, he's now back in jail. And according to local news reports, now facing a slew of new charges. Boy, talk about dumb. You're going to get out in 2 days, man. 2 days. By the way, he was originally jailed for a probation violation, so it just seems like Mr. Harris cannot stay out of trouble. Maybe he just likes being in jail. Maybe that was the... I don't want to get out. Anyway. And a couple of stories here in the broken news this morning. Odd and unusual side of the headlines. From the International File in the Netherlands. A Dutch town has discovered that they threw away an Andy Warhol print worth around $17,000. Just threw it away. It was among 46 artworks that were accidentally tossed during renovation work at the Maashorst Town Hall last year. A $17,000 Andy Warhol print was just mistakenly tossed during renovation work. Somewhere over the period of the past year, the art must have ended up with the bulk waste that was discarded, according to the mayor, Hans van der Pas. I guess you're not really supposed to treat valuable property this way, but it happened and we regret it deeply. The disposed of Warhol print was of Queen Beatrix and was part of the Reigning Queens series by the artist. I gotta think somewhere in the Netherlands there is a sanitation worker who is digging through piles of trash trying to find that $17,000 discarded Andy Warhol print. Where there's a sanitation worker who said, I'm going to find it. That's $17,000. And finally, here in the broken news this morning, this from Great Britain, where Ewan Valentine paid over $26,000 to replace his stolen vehicle with a new car, only to learn that he had bought his own car back. Had his car stolen, so he says, I got to buy a new car. Shelled out $26,000 for a new car, only to find out that he had bought back the car that had been stolen. The 2016 Honda Civic was reportedly stolen from its parking space in late February. And so Mr. Valentine said he wanted to replace it with a similar car. I found one for sale, same color, same year, same custom exhaust system. Upon checking the car's GPS, he found out that the car had already been to his house, his parents' house, and his in-laws' house. And that's when he started to get suspicious. You think? A part of me felt sort of triumphant for a moment until I realized, actually, no, this isn't some heroic moment. You didn't go and get your car back. You've actually done something a bit stupid, he said. He did call police and say, you're not going to believe what happened. I actually bought my own car back, my own stolen car back. Police are still investigating the theft. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Why become a Findlay Rotarian? We asked Superintendent of Hancock County Schools that question.
I'm Jeff Young, and I'm proud to be a Rotarian here in Findlay. For me, Rotary is more than just meetings. It's about connecting with others who share a passion for giving back, like supporting our incredible teachers through the Golden Apple Awards. It's about seeing firsthand the positive impact we have on our community, from youth programs to making Findlay and Hancock County a better place. That's why I'm a Rotarian.
To learn more, go to FindlayRotary.org.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It is certainly not a shocking revelation that a college education does not always translate into high pay in the real world, high paying jobs in the real world. Not all degrees are created equal and never have been. That wasn't always the most critical consideration in selecting a college major a generation or two ago when higher education was more affordable. But today, where going to school means mountains of debt and potentially crippling student loans, it is incredibly important to know which fields of study are going to make it most difficult to make ends meet, especially right out of the gate. So with graduation season upon us and students looking to further their careers and further their fields of study, there's a new report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which lists the 10 worst undergraduate majors for early career earnings in the U.S. This would be for workers between the ages of 22 and 27. So right out of college, these are the worst earning careers that require a degree, undergraduate majors. They are foreign language, general social sciences, performing arts, anthropology, early childhood education, family and consumer sciences, general education degrees, just overarching education degrees, miscellaneous biological science, social services, and theology and religion. Those are the bottom of the barrel for early career earnings in the U.S. Then beyond that, the 10 worst undergraduate majors for mid-career earnings in the U.S. This would be for workers between the ages of 35 to 45. Early childhood education, elementary education, social services, general education, special education, secondary education. You see a theme emerging here. Theology and religion. Miscellaneous education, family and consumer sciences on that list as well, and health services. So kind of interesting there. That's not to say that you shouldn't seek out those careers. Many of them are very, very important. Education, health sciences, social services, they're all very important, but not necessarily big career earners. So something to keep in mind when making those student loan decisions and how to pay for college. Something new is happening this weekend at the Hancock County Fairgrounds. It is the first ever Hancock County Home and Craft Show. And Kylie Rutzler is with us in the studio this morning. We talk about, come together in fairly short order. The date became available, it's like, hey, you've been, we were just talking before we went on the air, you have been thinking about launching a show of this type?
Yeah, actually, a lot of people don't know this, but I already started some advertising and marketing for another home and craft show, which is going to come still alive. I just had to put it on the bookshelf for a little bit. So there is another show coming eventually that's mm-hmm. exactly the same, mm-hmm. Just in a different county.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So give us a kind of a preview of what will be happening. We've had springtime craft shows at the fairgrounds before. This is kind of expanding on maybe what people have
thought
of.
The home side,
yeah. With the addition of the home side.
Yeah. Yep. There are, so we're at 158 booths and then plus outside vendors.
Okay.
It's a nice little even split between the two.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to watch how the small businesses of the home side and then the craft side.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of blending and actually working together mm-hmm. and networking that comes out of it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's been a while since we've had a home show, a traditional home show kind of thing in Hancock County as well.
Correct. I believe at this level, yeah.
Yeah.
A large scale one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So kind of give us an idea. And with all of the vendors, it would be impossible to list them mm-hmm. all. So I know this is a bit of a loaded question, but give us some examples of some of what folks will find at the show this weekend.
For the craft side, I mean, you're clear across the board with a whole different slew of people. We have wreaths, we have lotions, wood decor. We have a lot of spring planners. We're going to have some spring flowers there for sale through some vendors.
Mm-hmm.
The house side, we have chiropractors, we have roofers, we have house cleaners.
Because I was looking at the website. Now, you made a very concerted effort to get a wide variety of crafters.
Oh, I was out recruiting. I was on the phone calling people.
Yeah.
And trying to make this such a large show at a success, mm-hmm. With bringing all the unique things we're bringing in.
Yeah. So. And then on the home side, what will folks find?
Well, roofers and, like I said, cleaning people. I'm just trying to read my list. Oh, we have an HVAC guy. Mm-hmm. You name it, I called it. And
this is the big, time of year for that with spring and summer coming up.
Yeah.
So, the other nice thing about an event like this is you're able to, draw in a wide variety, in terms of the crowd. Some will come mm-hmm. For the crafts, some will come for the home vendors that may have a project on their radar screen. So,
well, and we're really trying to make it a family day by mm-hmm. having bounce houses out, and they're going to be underneath the Buckeye Building, so they are enclosed just in case.
Okay.
And we're trying to make a little kids area. We have Corey Rawson Art Club coming in to do face painting. And the bounce houses, those are all by donations only, and that will go back to Bless Up and Bloom, a local nonprofit helps with hygiene care around here. Also, some of the gate fee will go back to them as well. I'm hoping to pump a lot of good into this over the years. I'm excited already about next year.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
You have food?
We have about 11 food trucks, 12 food trucks.
Wow. Yeah. So you can come just for the food.
Yeah, and we really made sure that we don't have a bunch of repeats. It's very much from one extreme to the other. Go mm-hmm. barbecue to get in a snow cone or ice cream.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
All the way around, whether we're talking about you just go to eat or to shop, there's a huge variety.
Yeah.
How long does it take to put something like this together?
Well, it should take about 10 to 11 months. We got it done in 54. So
54 days, not 54 months.
No, 54 days. We got it together. Yeah. And I was just lucky enough with having my own business for over a year now. I had a great following already in Crafters.
Yeah.
I'll put a plug in. We have a show the following weekend in Bluffton at Stacks and Crafts. It would be my second craft show. Mm-hmm. So I have two back to back.
Yeah. So it's been very busy in putting all of this all of this together. But it is it should be a terrific show. And if folks want tickets, do they need to get them in advance or?
No, we are doing cash entry, but we also have tickets like you have in your hand that you can win, or I'm giving a bunch away on my Facebook page.
Okay.
So
where do folks get more information?
On my website, it's www.eventproconnections.net.
And we should mention, we were saying it's happening this weekend. It is actually Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, two-day event.
Okay. Give us the hours and all of the details.
It is Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is 9 to 3. Sunday is 11 to 3. Mm-hmm.
And just logistically, where do we come in any of the entrances?
Yep, that's a great question. You can come in on Sandusky Street or you can come off of Fishlock, whichever. Okay. And both are ready to go.
Okay. So, and again.
And you're going to come and it's not going to look like any other show. Like we have it very much. We shook it up a little bit. So I'm excited to see what it all looks
very
like.
Very good. And you said how many vendors total?
We have 158 booths inside, and that doesn't include what's outside.
Yeah, so there's plenty. So 2 days, you might want to make plans to be there both days.
I mean, I would. Yeah. Well, I will be. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You will be for sure. Again, more information online. We have, you also have, you mentioned the Facebook page where there's more information about there too, and we have it linked up at our webpage at goodmornings.net for the Hancock County Home and Craft Show at the fairgrounds presented by Event Pro Connections. And again, Kylie Rutzler, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Yep, thank you so much.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll get a preview of this year's local observance of the National Day of Prayer. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.